Good morning. If you wish to read along in your pew Bible, I'll be reading from page 799, Psalm 37, and then a single verse in Thessalonians later. This is written as a poem, so in my recording of it, I wrote it out in the same way. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And then from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone.
Patience is a virtue, the saying goes. I wonder if you know the four-line ditty that uses that saying. Let me say it to you. I'll put it on the screen as well, at least the first three lines. And I wonder if you know the fourth one, because if you do, I'd like to invite you to say it out loud. And it goes like this. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom in a woman. Okay, that's sad. So many of you knew it. Now, I was a little unsure about using it, partly because I'm a man, but also after these past 8 weeks of this, I wasn't sure I wanted to risk Marnie saying it louder and faster than the rest of you. But the point of the ditty is that generally, there's not as much patience around as there should be. And that probably includes most of us here, at least some of the time. Now, on the one hand, patience in our Western lifestyle may not only be in short supply. I think you could also say that, in some sense, it's not popular. Our economy and our society is built on people who are pushers, those who are go-getters. Patient people wouldn't make it so well in a fast-paced society, and I think that's even more true today than it was 50 years ago. And that's as true in ministry as it is in business, as it is in homemaking. If you let the grass grow under your feet, someone will get there before you do. If someone is wrong, you got to set them straight. And you litigate if you need to make that happen. And yet, on the other hand, we know that patience is incredibly important. And we admire people who have it. We know parents who have been models of patience with us as we were growing up. Or a boss who doesn't have simply the bottom line in mind when we don't quite meet expectations and we both know it. Or a coach that gives more than just a second chance. Well, regardless of society's perception, the Bible tells us that we need to have patience. In fact, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Actually, the word used in our translation in Galatians 5, that's up on the screen, is not the word patience, but the word forbearance. Reuben, I'm having a little trouble with the screens here. That's the one. You see highlighted there the word forbearance. We haven't read that passage. We read it last week if you were here. But the word forbearance is the one used in our current translation. But it wasn't in the previous one. And I'll say a bit more about that later when we get to that. And so in the meantime, I'm going to use the word patience because we're more familiar with it. But I want to start with part of what we're looking at in this season of Lent as we look at the fruit of the Spirit with what is the opposite of patience. And not surprisingly, it's impatience, which makes sense. It's over there on the list of the opposites of what you find on the tree, which will carry all the words of the one fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk of impatience, we usually talk of the irritants that make us impatient. We think of situations like perhaps when we're with someone who we think is overly talkative. Or we think of it when we talk about long lines, or messy children, or untrained pets, or incompetence in what seemed to be a simple job task, or doing more laundry. And we think, we can find ourselves thinking, if it weren't for all these irritants and these irritating people, I could excel at the fruit of patience. But that's not what the fruit of the Spirit is addressing in Galatians 5 and in Scripture. One of the mistakes we can make in thinking about patience is thinking that it pretty much entirely has to do with what's on the outside of us. Our circumstances. That those determine how well I can or should be doing with that fruit. But patience, Scripture teaches, has to do with what's on the inside of me. It's the fruit of the Spirit that I need to bear if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And that makes more sense if we understand what patience really is. Well, if you look in the dictionary, the dictionary will tell you that patience means calm endurance. Being able to tolerate that which is wrong or painful or negative without complaining. And that's a definition. But biblical patience is a bit more than that. It's not just being able to take it or having a high tolerance to whatever abuse or issue may come our way. Nor is patience simply not doing something when unfair things happen. And that's why I put endurance as what could be understood as a counterfeit of patience that might fool us into thinking we are or someone is when they're not. Thinking that simply enduring something and even being indifferent to it is equal to the fruit of patience. The reality is that you can have lots of emotion and care intensely about something and help shape new directions and draw lines or clarified consequences and still be patient. It's not simply enduring it. The original Greek word is makrothumia. And it's a compound word. Makros means long or far. And thumos means anger or hot or even suffering. And if you pull it together, what you can come up with is something like a long anger. You've heard the English expression short temper. Well, I suppose, as one commentator wrote, we could coin an expression for patience and call it long temper. And not be far from the accurate meaning of the word we have in Greek. So our Bible, in using the word forbearance, is getting away from the English use of the word patience that's more colloquially used and as we might use it. Because the word patience in the English language is usually more individualistic and non-personal. Like when we get impatient because the toaster is so slow again. But in Paul, macrothumia, the word, is always used in the context involving forbearance toward others. If I ask you to bear with me, I am not asking you to simply endure what I am doing. I'm asking you to walk with me in it while it's going on. It's the passive but tenacious side of love, of which kindness, which we look at next week, is the active side. One church father defined patience or macrothumia as the spirit which could take revenge if it wanted, but chooses not to. Not lashing out when we have the right to have expected something different and even to be angry. At heart, it's about being gracious for the good of the other, allowing room and space and time for something to change in the other and forgiving when that's what's called for. Patience has to do with valuing others, both in our relationship with them, but also in who they are, including their weaknesses or sin. And so in the Bible, we find that the call to forbearance, first of all, is for us as a church community. So what we find in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, that Rain led us in reading. And you think of it, our different thoughts about worship, our issues within our denomination and churches, weaker members, outspoken members. It's not about giving up on people or writing them off, or it's about not giving up on people or writing them off or ignoring them, no matter how wrong we may think they are. It doesn't mean enduring everything, because there is a time when we need to draw lines and even express anger, but walking with the Spirit calls us first to be patient with each other within the body of Christ. And secondly, we are called to be patient in Scripture in our personal relationships. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, teachers and pupils, employers and employees, friends and neighbors. We need to remind each other of that t-shirt I still see once in a while that says, "Be patient. God isn't done with me yet." God isn't done with any of us. As Christians, we need to see ourselves and others as God's projects in different stages of development. We don't have time for a lot of that this morning, but you can find it in various books and that say things about different ways in which we can cultivate patience. One way, for example, is following a little more closely what you find in Psalm 37 about working in God's time, and not simply our own, and only being aware of our time and schedule. It's interesting that we confess from Scripture that God works all things for the good of those who love Him in Christ, and that not a hair falls from our head without the will of our Father in heaven, and that nothing comes to us that does not pass through God's fatherly hand, but we can so quickly forget that and want to take things in our own hands and not consider God's providence or what may be God's timing. And when we find ourselves losing patience again, it may be good to take some time to reflect on this and wonder what God's schedule, not only in our lives, but in the life of someone else might be. Another way that I think we can cultivate patience that I think can be very telling and helpful, though you may need some patience if you're going to do it, is to go home and talk about what we look at this morning in light of your behavior with someone who knows you. Ask your children. Ask your parents. Ask your husband or your wife or a good friend. Ask whether they see areas in your life where you are not displaying a lot of patience, where you are tending to quickly get angry or reactive. Where am I quickest to complain or be annoyed? And listen carefully and seriously. But I think one of the most important places to start in cultivating the fruit of patience, maybe especially in a season of Lent, is by focusing our thoughts on God's patience with us. of thinking how it might have been had God not been patient, had God not had or have forbearance. God could have ended things in the Garden of Eden, and it would have been just. God could let go of us long before, forgiving us well along the path of 70 times 7. But we read in the Bible and in places like Romans 2, verse 4, that God is rich in forbearance and patience, and that his kindness is intended to bring us to repentance, to make things right again. And he calls us to respond to that because there's something deeper than simply enduring what's not going well in our lives. And it's striking to note that those are the first two words we read in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, about what love is. Love is patient and kind, the Apostle Paul writes there. It's what we read elsewhere, that God does not want that any of us should be lost. Of course God draws lines, and of course there comes an end to that. But his forbearance, his long-suffering, is not just about enduring us. It's about wanting what is good for us. And so when the time was right, after many years, God sent his son, who went to the cross, that we might again be okay with God. And God, in love for us, then nourishes that to us every time we remember that story of his forbearance, the story of the cross. And because that is how God is with us, then we who are followers of Christ, we who have the Holy Spirit, are called to be that way with each other. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. So Lent is a time to reflect on how I am doing in patience with others who are here or who are elsewhere in my life. And at the same time to ask again, how am I as a recipient of the patience of God? And that's why we pray, as we will shortly in a song that we're going to sing, that Jesus teach us his patience in our walk with him, in our walk with each other, and also in our walk with ourselves. God is not done with us yet. I thank God for those who have learned patience with people and are shining examples of that. And I pray that all of us may continue to grow in that fruit of the Spirit, especially in times when we need it. It's something I know that I need to keep working on and find myself reflecting on or even being reminded of when I'm quick to think about something that didn't go the way that it should. But most of all, I thank God that in Jesus, we not only have a model and a teacher of patience, but that we are objects of God's patience. Every day, in my sin, in my stubbornness, in my bad habits, in my inability to achieve some of the things of what it is to be Christ-like that I should, God keeps going with me, with us, with you. And now, Lord, in the season of reflection, teach us your patience. Amen. This brings us to a time of reconciliation. Galatians 5, the passage that we read last week that sets the tone for what we're looking at, where we also find the verse about the fruit of the Spirit, Paul starts off in the section, at least that we've identified, with saying some things about the acts of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious. I warn you, Paul writes, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if that kind of crucifixion in our lives is going to happen, it takes being honest, seeing ways in which we've fallen short of God's call and allowed sin and living to get in the way of who we are in the Holy Spirit. As we've already noted, it's God's kindness and patience that leads us to repentance. And that's what it is God calls us to. taking seriously where we fall short, bringing it to the cross where a Savior takes it on and crucifies our sin. Please join me in a prayer of confession, which will include a responsive section interspersed with a verse of a song in the middle, and I will alert you to when it's on the screen so that you can participate then. Please join me in prayer.